Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Courtney Flaherty. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by RWJ Barnabas Health and Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, we had the pleasure of speaking with Mariam F. Eskandar, MD, MPH, about efforts to ameliorate disparities in oncology clinical trials. Dr. Eskandar is a surgical oncologist at the Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey, as well as an assistant professor in the Department of Surgery, Division of Surgical Oncology, and Section of Gastrointestinal Oncology at Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School in New Brunswick. During the 2023 Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey Annual Oncology Clinical Practice and Research Summit, Eskandar delivered a presentation about disparities that exist in clinical trials and ways to eliminate barriers in cancer research. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Eskandar discussed the impact of social determinants of health on cancer clinical trial participation, effective strategies for considering and engaging diverse communities in the clinical trial process, and how community partnerships can be strengthened to foster trust, enhance awareness, and eliminate these financial and logistical barriers. Can you highlight some of the main points you talked about in your presentation on eliminating barriers in cancer research?
So we know that low-income and disadvantaged populations in this country have less access to healthcare. And clinical trials are both a symptom and a potential solution to the disparities that we see for cancer patients. So my talk detailed the multiple steps from a patient's cancer diagnosis to a person deciding whether to enroll in a clinical trial and how social determinants of health play into each one of those steps and are really opportunities for us to reach the most vulnerable populations and make sure that they all are well represented in our trials. And I talked about some of my research that will help characterize the socioeconomic diversity of our clinical trials and help us understand how these socioeconomic factors, such as insurance status, geography, and social vulnerability, impact the availability and ability of folks from low-income backgrounds to join clinical trials.
What are some of the most important social determinants of health that you discussed in your presentation? And how do these cause disparities early on?
Oh, I'm so glad we're talking about this. This is my favorite thing. So social determinants of health fall under several buckets. The big ones are economic factors, such as income and employment, neighborhood factors, such as the physical environment and the built environment, and social factors, such as racism, culturally sensitive care, language. And so you can imagine that if folks have difficulties in any one or multiple of these issues, they might not have the same access to care or the same experience navigating the healthcare system as someone who doesn't have that characteristic.
So far, what strategies have proven effective in engaging diverse communities in the clinical trial process, and how can these community partnerships really be strengthened?
Absolutely. There's some great research going on about this. Some of the best research is in understanding how some of the trial eligibility criteria that we create can actually exclude large swaths of the population from being even eligible for our trials. Things like certain lab tests, for example, or certain comorbidity criteria can actually be discriminatory against folks of color and low-income individuals. So I think that's huge. I think it's really reimagining who should be eligible for our trials and trying to kind of increase that pool to make trials more accessible for others. I think the other important thing is the role of geography and how if you are asking folks to travel for clinical trials, you are putting an undue burden on folks who might not have a car or might work two jobs and be unable to make it to all their appointments. And there are innovations in one, trying to expand the use of telehealth for clinical trials, which I think will be revolutionary because folks can just sign on to a clinical trial, do an electronic consent, do video visits, and bringing clinical trials to communities. So having a clinical trial site in the communities where disadvantaged populations live, rather than asking people to travel a couple hours to the nearest NCI-designated center, which might be nowhere near their house.
What educational efforts are being implemented to potentially raise awareness about the importance of clinical trial participation, particularly among communities with these historically low rates of participation?
Love your question so much. I think education is a huge part of it. I think in some ways, clinical trials have a PR problem, right? If you ask kind of patients, do they know what a clinical trial is? Do they know what the purpose is? Do they know how to enroll? I think you're going to get a lot of answers that might not necessarily be accurate. And so I think education efforts are very, very important. Here at RWJ Barnabas Health, in partnership with the Cancer Institute of New Jersey, we have nurse navigators at many of our sites whose roles include educating patients with a new diagnosis of cancer about clinical trials and what they are. We also are working to revamp some of our educational materials, such as our brochures, because we've realized looking at the brochures that they're written in a way that might not be accessible, for example, to folks who didn't go to college or who aren't familiar with our jargon about cancer. And so we really are working to, well, A, make sure that our nurse navigators make it a priority to talk to patients about clinical trials, B, work on the educational materials, and C, which is a very long-term solution, but it's to help hire people, both for nurse navigator and health education, but also as physicians and nurses who mirror the population that we serve, because I think that helps combat some of the mistrust that might exist about clinical trials. If you see someone who looks like you on the clinical trial team, I think that engenders a trust that might not be there if you view that team as completely different from you.
What initiatives and interventions are being explored to address the financial and logistical barriers that can arise in cancer research?
I think the financial and logistical barriers are huge. These would be kind of point of care interventions to help people from disadvantaged backgrounds, mainly low-income people, enroll in trials and be retained in trials. My work right now is assessing those barriers. My work focuses on a population of patients who have Medicaid insurance, so who are a certain percent of the federal poverty level, and understanding this group's attitudes towards clinical trials and understanding the barriers that this group has to accessing clinical trials. And we're also asking our patients what interventions would be helpful to you, right? So it's kind of a needs assessment and an exploration of potential interventions. There are programs around the United States that are very exciting. One, for example, tested the availability of a food pantry for patients for clinical trial accrual and retention, and found that it did make a difference to make sure that patients who come from food deserts or who might not have access to food, like helping with that particular social determinant makes a difference. And I suspect that if we helped patients with transportation or if we helped patients with childcare or if we made the visits closer to their houses, just simple kind of practical solutions, I really think we can increase the accrual of low-income patients onto our trials. But I think the exploration piece is what are those needs? And I think it's going to be a local solution for most places in the United States. So every center needs to look at their patients and look at their catchment area and understand what those needs are, and then piece together a community engaged and solution to helping with those particular social determinants.
What would you say is the value of multidisciplinary collaboration when devising solutions to these issues?
Any solution has to be multidisciplinary. It has to be community-based. And I think it probably has to be workshopped through multiple trials. I think one of the most useful things that I found is absolutely having oncology nurses, oncologists, the folks who are enrolling patients in clinical trials at the table is very important, but also having patients themselves at the table. I think only patients can really tell us what the experience is like being diagnosed with cancer and being asked to enroll in a clinical trial. And we need to understand what's working and what's not working and what the best practices are around enrolling disadvantaged people.
What findings has your research uncovered so far?
Well, the trends that we're noticing are that even in a population of patients that I serve, who are patients who have been treated with surgery, among that highly selected population, even in that group, neighborhood social vulnerability still has a negative impact on clinical trial participation. So even in patients who are already hooked up into the system and are already having surgery for their cancer, these neighborhood factors still make a difference. And you see different rates of clinical trial participation among patients with Medicaid and among patients who live in socially vulnerable neighborhoods, and between Black and white patients, you still see those differences in a highly selected cohort. The other piece of my research that's still in progress is about distance traveled to a clinical trial site. And so there are large swaths of the United States where folks have to travel over 200 miles to go to a clinical trial site for a particular cancer. And that's really a problem that we as a community need to address.
Based on everything we talked about, what is your main message for colleagues?
We have done great work addressing racial disparities in clinical trial enrollment. And a lot of centers, ours included, I'm very proud to say this, from the great state of New Jersey, are enrolling up to 40-45% minority patients into our clinical trials, which is absolutely fabulous. And it is a result of years of work with the community, very strong community cancer action board, strong community partnerships, messaging, and a lot of work toward that. What I want to encourage my colleagues to do is take that next step, right? Let's think about the socioeconomic diversity of our trials, because there are groups of people who really bear the burden of cancer mortality in this country who don't have the access that they need and are severely underrepresented in our trials. And those include patients with Medicaid insurance and patients who live in socially vulnerable neighborhoods. And so I really think that's the next step. That's our next challenge for health equity in clinical trials, is making sure that from a social and demographic perspective, our clinical trials mirror the populations that we're serving.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by RWJ Barnabas Health and Rutgers Cancer Institute of New Jersey. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.